And now, here are your hosts of Lab Radio, sponsored by Coinstructive.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Aaron Mungle. I'm here with Coinstructive, and we are doing another interview here at Bitcoin Miami 2016. I'm here with Chris.
Hey, guys.
And I am here with Eric Lukshovic.
Hi.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's correct.
Nice. We work on making doing that right. He's from Ledger, the CEO and founder of Ledger.
Yeah.
And Ledger's really interesting, so I'm very excited to learn more about this. And I've been, you know, seeing you guys at different events. But yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's have you tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into this field, and sort of, yeah, just tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, so my background as an engineer, and I made a few startups in the IT world. I started 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I made a few company, and I had one in that I started in 2011, which was in the, let's say, of food industry, scan industry, to pricing for customers, and I just sold this company in 2013, and so I had some money on my hand, and I was looking forward to do something new. I discovered Bitcoin, maybe 1 year before that, but it was just an academic interest. I was fascinated by the technology, but I didn't have too much time to spend on it. And when I had free time, I said, okay, let's do something in this industry. I had no idea of what I wanted to do, because I didn't know well enough the protocol, the industry. And as I had some money, I decided to do something bold, something which no one would have backed. I opened in the center of Paris a Bitcoin center, which name is La Maison du Bitcoin. It's a very nice space, 200 square meters, 2,000 square feet. And it was dedicated to Bitcoin. And I honestly had no idea of what I was going to do with that. I just wanted to have a place for people, to developers, to come here to exchange, startups to find other developers. So it was just some place where we did a lot of meetups, a lot of doing places for people to learn more about Bitcoin, etc. In the course of all that, we met two other startups, which were dedicating one in a hardware security, smart cards, and another one doing wallets. We found out that we shared the same idea, that Bitcoin needed to have security feature at the end user, because Bitcoin is very secure from the protocol, but it's decentralized, so the end user must get security. And as we were sharing the same vision, same envy, then we merged, and this is how Ledger has become, with the ambition to become the leader in the securing all the Bitcoin and blockchain applications.
And where did you grow up?
Oh, in Paris.
Okay.
So I'm really from France, from Paris. Spent all my life there. Made almost all my startups and business there. I just spent 10 years in Eastern Europe and Central Europe, Romania and Latvia, where I did some stuff very different, in the hospitality industry. So I still have a hotel in Riga, so I made something very different, which where I learned a lot. But I decided to come back in France in 2010, and this is where I started my the startup of doing price comparison engine, and which led me after on Bitcoin.
So would you say you had a technical background, or was it sounds like it was almost more like a business?
Well, I have both.
Okay.
I am engineer in microelectronics, so I started my career designing ASICs, but I stopped because I didn't know about Bitcoin. After I just went into designing startups, IT, so I was always CTO, CEO, doing business and the technology also.
Okay.
But right now I'm Ledger, we have a real CTO.
Yeah.
So I'm more the CEO, it's more doing business than technology.
Cool. Did you find you liked the balance of both, or did you prefer one over the other?
No, it was always good to be able to have, the business vision, and also be able to do the execution. Because I have met a lot of people who wanted to build startups and projects. And if they were on the business side, the first difficulty was to find someone who was able to just implement the idea and the solution on the web, on the mobile. And the fact to be able to do both was very time-saving, because you can implement
efficient.
The vision, it's efficient, you can start, you do not need other people, so you can test, break, test and learn, do these kind of things. And this is how I started with Bitcoin. So if I was only in business, I would have been very limited, because in Bitcoin, you cannot go far if you don't know the technology, because this is so rough. that you really need to have a deep understanding of what's going on.
That's interesting. Now, did you find it hard to find like people in technology and startups like where you grew up? Or it sounded like you also traveled around a lot. So do you think that was a part of it too? Just kind of networking and casting a pretty wide net in terms of your connections?
It's very important to have a network of connections and to know the right person because... especially if you want to work with the best. It's always, most often of the time, it's like chance, you know, serendipity. You meet people in some in some conditions, and then one thing leads to another, and a startup is born. It's important to be in the dynamic of meeting people, going in meetups. This is how I met some of my co-founders.
Nice.
You know, even if you want to do something, you need co-founder, you cannot be alone. So going into meetups, into places where you know that you can find other like-minded people, it's very important. And this is, in fact, people ask me sometimes, I want to find a co-founder, how can I do? And I answer them, okay, it's like to ask me, I want to marry, how can I do? you cannot, it is not something you can provoke.
Wow.
It's only serendipity. So just go out, meet people, discuss, go in the tech places, and this is how you are going to meet someone with whom you want to make a startup. Because it's like getting married. It's the same kind of commitment.
So it
kind of
sounds like you need to almost develop yourself, and then the right match, when you meet them, it'll make sense, right? There'll be a good fit with the skill sets.
Yeah, exactly. You have, also if they ask me, how do I know if I'm with the right co-founder, if I want to spend all my time doing business with this person? My answer is very simple. Just take a long plane travel or plane train. And if you can stay 4 hours with this person without saying anything or feeling the need to speak or to do something, then it's okay, you know. Just if you feel like normal, you know, then it can work. Because if you feel like you have to say something, like you don't know, you know, you don't feel at ease, then it will be very difficult in the long term to work with this person. So just take a long plane travel with someone
that is funny.
And see how it goes.
I feel like this isn't talked about enough, like how people sort of, there's a social dynamics, how people get along. You don't necessarily see that when you see a brand or company, but that's a big part of what makes it successful and gives it the longevity, right?
Yeah, because I have seen so much company where all the energy is spent into politics, you know, inside how you can do stuff, how you can replace this person, how where people are not aligned in the vision. We were very lucky in Ledger because we are like three companies which we merged, so we are like 16 now. So most of the people come from three companies, from three different cultures and different locations, but it was a match, and we are a very good team, and even if we went from different places, we spent less than 1% discussing about politics or things which are not good for the development of the company. So
that's worth noting. So social development and team building,
it's extremely important. It's part of the success, because otherwise it's too bad thing, and you are not developing the company, you are just trying to solve problems for the company. It's not the same.
And what I like about what you're saying is that can apply to anyone in any industry. This isn't just like only
it has nothing to do with Bitcoin.
It's how everything kind of works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you started to touch on Ledger, which I'm glad that's a great segue. Three different companies in one, like tell us about Ledger itself, and then I'd love to hear more about the three companies in one and how that plays out.
Ledger is trying to solve one very specific problem, which is the security at the end user. So when you own Bitcoins, what you really own are private keys, and you need to protect them. This is as simple as that. This is critical information that you cannot let on a normal computer because you have malwares, you have viruses. It's like a low-hanging fruit. You just need to scan the memory and they get this
You mean for
keys.
Attackers?
For attackers, yes.
And it's a high incentive to do
so. Yeah, because you just get cash.
Yeah.
So the payout is immediate.
Right. You don't have to sell the data
this.
No, yeah, there's so few steps.
And maybe right now you do not have so many or so much malwares or attacks. But when Bitcoin is going to have a high value and it will be used by many people, then the mayhem will start. So in my opinion, it's having a significant amount of Bitcoin and not having a hardware wallet. It's like having gold bullion and not buying a safe, you know.
Wow.
It's the same. So
just leaving it on the counter.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you need to have this kind of products. And it's a good market because we are not the only one to do that. You have other vendors, so it's a good sign. I mean, if you can survive at 4 or 5 companies selling hardware wallet, it means that people want to buy this. So
that's a great point.
And,
yeah.
And for us, it's doing well. We are, in fact, we are in the Bitcoin industry. It's not easy to find startups which are doing revenues. because finding business model is not easy. Do you take a percentage or stuff, you know? So if you are doing an exchange, okay, you know what you do. But for many, many startups, everything is free, and you don't. And you will say, okay, we will see later how it goes. In our case, we sell hardware, so the business is quite easy to understand. So also, this is what helped us to raise funds, and because it's like ABC, you know, quite simple from the business perspective.
It's like a formula, right? The startup model.
And the investors are used to this formula.
Yes, exactly. And they can put Bitcoin on the side because, in fact, what we do is just hardware. It's based on smart card, which is like secure elements. It's a very specific part of the hardware industry. And as this knowledge is very specific, they understood that, okay, even if Bitcoin goes down, maybe you can do on the blockchain, maybe you can do something else. So it was easy to remove Bitcoin of the equation, because in France, Bitcoin is not something like very popular or very accepted. So French are very conservative. So we didn't raise because we were doing Bitcoin. It was just much more because we had a real technology.
Okay, and so tell me about the three companies in one.
So the first one was the, let's say, the Bitcoin Center, where we had more, let's say, networking knowledge of how to speak to VCs, business development. This is more what we had in the approach. The other company name is BT Chip, and they are coming from the hardware industry, security industry, specialized in smart cards. They are like very, very deep technical things. And the third one was doing like wallets, exchange, everything about the UX, the onboarding, understanding what the user needs. They were not some very technical, but they were always close to the user. Say, okay, what do they understand? What do they want? So in fact, we were very good together because we could build a product very secure, very technical, but in the same time, also very easy to understand. And this is... if you look at our packaging, you know, it looks like lean, it's white. Also the UX, the onboarding is quite step by step with nice colors. So we managed to do something that even a new user could understand. And the third part, like ours, we could build the business and talk to VC, raise funds. So yeah, that's why it was a match. Everyone knew exactly what they had to do and how they fit into this new company.
Very cool. Shall we have you maybe demo the wallet? And what I'll do is I'll take a little video, even though we're on audio here, so we can post a short video on our blog in the show notes. But I will also...
Well, I came with two products. One is the Ledger Nano. It's really our, let's say, bestseller. It's very small. It's cheap, the same chip that you will find in the credit card, but on the USB
form
factor.
So that's the Ledger Nano?
This is the Ledger Nano.
Okay.
It's something that you insert in your USB port. It's like plugging a secure computer on your computer, and it's going to manage the signature of all the Bitcoin transactions. So it will hold on your private keys, and when you want to sign a transaction, it will do it inside the secure element. So it will never reveal the private keys to the host computer. So even if your computer is completely compromised, it's not a problem. And also, we use a two-factor authentication. In fact, it will send to your phone, like Android or iOS, your transaction, so you can verify what you are signing. So you cannot get man-in-the-middle attacked. So this this Nano here, we have sold it in for about 10,000 units in more than 100 countries. So it has been quite a successful product. And the next generation of our products, it's the Ledger Blue. So this is also based on secure chip and smart cards, but it also have a screen, because the idea is like to bring the UX about what you see is what you sign. So you can enter the PIN code directly on the screen. And once it's done, for instance, you can confirm transactions directly on the screen also.
Yeah.
And it can show the amount, it can show the address on which you want to send, and this you can verify all this on the screen. And we have quite a large screen. It's very important because Bitcoin is one thing, but you also have smart contracts, blockchain assets, where you also need to verify, for instance, that it's the transaction for a smart asset with gold or oil or whatever, and then you can verify everything on the screen. And this is the Ledger Blue, the next generation of hardware wallet. The difference is mainly that you have a screen. It's based on a smart card, and this time you will enter your PIN code directly on the screen. And for instance, if you have a confirmation, a Bitcoin confirmation, Bitcoin transaction that you need to confirm, you will see all the information directly on the screen, like the amount, the destination address, and it will work with USB, but also NFC and Bluetooth. So it can work with Android, iOS.
But it does not connect to the internet.
It does not connect to internet. You still need to use a software on your laptop or smartphone. It can be our software, but it will also be compatible with Mycelium, for instance, or other. We always want to be compatible.
And that's a security benefit, right?
Yeah. We do not want our users to be locked in our products or our software. That's where that even if we go out of business, people will still be able to use their Bitcoins because everyone has a backup based on BIP39, which is a standard to save your private keys, and you can recover access to your Bitcoins on any compatible software, and there are many. And if on the blue we chose to have a large screen, a lot of real estate, it's also because it can be used to verify other kind of transactions, not only Bitcoin ones, but everything related to the blockchain assets, smart contracts, where you have many more things to see. For instance, it can be a smart contract where you are going to move some colored assets, so you can check it's a good corresponding for gold or for oil or anything. That's why having a large screen is important, so you can have what you see is what you sign, because it's in cryptography you can secure the private keys, but you also need to make sure that what you are signing is really what you want to sign. About the blue also, it's based on open source. Everything is open to developers. You can build your own apps. You can have some plugin validation for transaction. So for instance, we can dynamically add some segregated witness validation. So if anything moves to like new protocols, new kind of transaction validation, it can be updated directly, dynamically inside the hardware wallet, so it will be compatible with any kind of new modification in the Bitcoin protocol.
Very cool. Thanks for showing that. Yeah, so like we got a video there that we'll incorporate. So it sounds like the benefits are you're creating robust, not only like made, they seem very well made. So it's robust in terms of like material and how it's made, but then there's also these sort of, you're not locked into just you guys.
No.
You have control over it, and you're enabling that.
Yeah, we want to have something very open. We believe in open standards. So everything we are using is documented based on open APIs, open standards. And also, for instance, what we want to do is go from hardware wallets to personal security devices. Because if you have something in your pocket, you want to do something more than just Bitcoins or maybe blockchain. So this device, for instance, you can also use to manage your PGP keys. So if you want to encrypt emails, sign emails, you can have your keys inside. You can do SSH login also. You can do two-factor authentication. We are members of the FIDO Alliance. So FIDO is just an open standard to replace in the long term passwords. So it's pushed by Google, Samsung, Microsoft. And the idea is that instead of having email and password, you will just sign a cryptographic challenge to log you in. So this kind of devices will enable also that in a very secure way. And it will give you also a lot of opportunity to secure critical processes. For instance, if you have a broker, you do some you buy or sell Bitcoins, and your customers, they want to make a deposit or just to withdraw, for instance, 100,000, 1,000 Bitcoins, then you want to make sure you're also withdrawing to the correct address. You are using like OTPs or stuff like that, but with our product, they could also add a much bigger layer of security. So this is also something we are working on, so that any kind of developers can build their secure app and use our hardware to implement them.
Very cool. Well, I'd love to get your definition. First of all, you've had this wide breadth of business experience, and I think the solution is super practical. So I'm glad we're talking about this, and I think this is a great thing to introduce to people, that because I feel like human error is such a big issue, and it's hard, kind of hard to prevent, you know, because people just make mistakes, and I think this is a great step in.
Yeah, kind always two-step verifying.
Yeah, it's like you have to kind of think ahead of yourself, right? Like I have a friend who has a truck, and he got like insurance on the tires because it's like he's like, I know I'm kind of an idiot, so it's kind of like that.
I also know that you guys are doing some integrations directly into phones with like the mycelium.
Yes, using a trusted execution environment. In fact, the idea is that you, on some phones right now, is like high-end Samsung phones, you can have a virtualized secure element. It's like you're having a smart card, but virtualized directly in the secure part of the microprocessor. So, in fact, all the apps that you will be able to develop for the Ledger Blue will also be compatible with this T, what we call the Ledger Trustlet. Right now, it's only running in beta for Mycelium, but as soon as Samsung and Trustonic, which are the vendors of the TU, will release the latest version, we will be able to go live with a version that you will be able to install on your phone. So it's it has the advantage of not having to take with you another piece of hardware. So if you have the chance to have a Samsung S6, for instance, then you will be able to just test or also virtualize the hardware wallet.
Hmm. Yeah, a whole nother thing that is coming to you soon by Ledger.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We'll have to get you back to have like an announcement or something. Tell us your definition of Bitcoin.
Well,
we don't always step back and think about that, right?
We are so in it that sometimes it's not easy to define, but I would say that Bitcoin is a way to transact without banks and third parties, and I think most the real question that people ask is like, why do I use to Bitcoin?
That's maybe a better question. Why?
Why? And why? What will make Bitcoin, in fact, go more mainstream? And after now almost 2 years of experience of seeing users and seeing things, I think that the real use case of Bitcoin, of why Bitcoin is very important for some people, this is where, in fact, the economy is not working well. Because if you are in France or maybe in the US using Bitcoin, it has some advantages, but it's more like, okay, you're cool, you want to try something a little bit geeky, but you can always replace by cash or credit card because bank works quite fine. You may not like them, but at least it works well.
Right.
But in some countries, or in South America, or in Russia, or in Ukraine, people have some real troubles to move money, to use money, because the money or the local money is had some problems. And this is really, you have a killer app for Bitcoin, because people use it because they don't have choice, or because really it's a real change for them. So in a way, Bitcoin is a little bit a hedge on the global economic system, and the more we will see trouble in the global economy, or then the more we will see a real usage of Bitcoin, which you cannot replace, because it's not something about being cool or being a technologist. It's about surviving. I think this is why also I love Bitcoin, because it can really be a chance for some people and help them to survive in some very difficult environments.
We were talking to Diego from Rootstock, and he really delved into sort of these social issues. Like he was talking about, in certain countries, people have to keep their money on hand, and they might carry like a month's salary at a time, and like they could get mugged, you know, maybe it's not safe. So you're kind of solving some, like you said, big, big problems. And I think it's important to highlight exactly what that means, because it's easy to say that word, but there's real things happening behind that, you know?
Right.
So how about the blockchain? How would you define the blockchain?
Well, the blockchain, as someone told him, I think is, if you're talking about a blockchain, then maybe it's something that can help a consultant getting rich by billing bankers. but we think that the concept of blockchain or distributed ledger is just a glorified database. And I guess it's a big opportunity for some people to make a lot of money in consulting. But we do not believe that the hype will stay. Will continue. We have just seen that Blythe Master, her company, just raised like more than $50 million just to continue the technological development of distributed ledger just for banks. I'm not sure there is a real technology difference from what people have been doing before, because obviously they're not using the Bitcoin blockchain, on which main advantage is resistance of censorship and stuff like that. But we will see. I think that the Bitcoin blockchain, because it is censorship resistant, then can build a lot of interesting use cases. Mm. And I think the most exciting one maybe are prediction markets, because this is really something which can change the economy and the way we access to information. So if we are talking about that, yeah, I'm quite bullish. But if we are talking about distributed ledgers and stuff, I'm less interested into the database technology banks are using.
So you said predicting markets. Do you mean sort of like better forecasting data or better ways to kind of see what's coming?
Oh, it's let's take a very simple yet provocative example. If you had a perfect predictive market where people can in fact bet with money on information, let's say that you have terrorists and they plan some attacks somewhere, and you have some people who know about these attacks, or they know that they are going to do some attacks on soldiers in some parts, etc., of Iraq. Then if they have this information and they can bet on it, and they know they can make a lot of money on it, then they are going to put this information and put money on it to have a return. And so somewhere you will see that something is going to happen. This is what I'm talking about. Not only predictive markets can be a safe haven for betting and fantasy sports, because there is a lot of problem with that in the US, but I think it can give a lot of information about the world.
Yeah. And in real time, right?
Because right now
it's a lagging indicator.
Prediction markets were legal in the US for all, I can't remember when they went away, but they were so effective at predicting presidential outcomes. They were like accurate every time,
yeah,
for like 60 years or something.
No, it's true.
And it's because people were actually, because they talk about people vote with their dollar, right?
Yeah.
Or their money.
Yeah.
And so this was exactly what it was. People put their money behind what they believe.
Exactly. And it has some problem either regarding the law, like it has been outlawed because it's too accurate, or...
It's too correct.
And also, as it's centralized, there is a big incentive for the owners just to modify and take the money.
Right.
So you really need something decentralized. It can work only if it's decentralized, and after it brings a lot of questions like assassination markets, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think we have to live with that, and it will open interesting questions.
There's always a bad piece. Like the internet started out, it's a very rough and tumble place.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's a great place for everybody. Right?
No, so exactly.
There's always that 1% of people who are going to do things bad no matter what.
Yeah, and we start by saying that only because this is where usually you have the most traction. Mm-hmm. It was the same for Bitcoin and dark markets. But at the end of the day, you will see that the benefits outweighs the bad things. So I'm pretty sure it will be the same.
Tell us, if you had a magic wand, what would you change about the industry or the technology?
Well, I will remove some drama,
okay.
Especially now, because all technologies have drama, but the only thing is here is like very public, and people are very emotive because it's about money, it's about political stuff. So because Bitcoin brings together a lot of things, and I would say that 1 year ago, I would say that we would need to get rid of scammers, but I think the market just gets rid of them naturally,
right.
And we are getting in a place where it's more and more difficult to do scams because people know more.
Very true.
Now we need to find better way of governance. It's I don't have any answers, of course,
mm-hmm.
But we see that there are still some weaknesses that maybe we didn't think about Bitcoin, and we have seen them explode right now. And there is a lot of debate and heated discussion about the technical future of Bitcoin. And let's hope that after all this drama, we will come with a more mature environment where people will have a better way to communicate and understand each other. Because there is so many at stake that I understand why, let's say, enemies of Bitcoin are laughing sometimes about what they see. Because it's true that it's a Bitcoin, maybe like 5 or 6 billion market, but when you see some people doing stuff like babies, you know, you say, wow, do I really want to go into Bitcoin? And we have to give sometimes some credit to Bitcoiners to see the things always as they are. But let's hope that we will be able to move past that and go in a more mature ecosystem.
Nice, I like that. That's a good,
maturity.
Very good answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we were talking earlier about when you go to an actual conference and meet people, people don't behave like... It's kind of hard to troll you in person, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you get behind the computer and on your Twitter, and you know, then you add in like anonymity, it's even worse. People say who knows what. Like, well, I won't go into that. But yeah, you know, there's just a little trolling on Twitter, and like they had used the Bitcoin Miami hashtag. So it's funny you can get these interesting conversations wrapped in, but maybe in person development and meeting people is a potential answer because when you meet people, I think it kind of diffuses some of that emotion.
No,
and
exactly,
I think when people don't connect or communicate, or you're just communicating digitally, I don't think it's the full thing. Like, I think there's something to be said still, even with all this technology, about looking people in the eye, shaking their hand, you know, when you're dealing with money especially, right? People get very emotional.
Decentralized technology will never replace the need for human contact.
There you go. That's a great quote. I guess let's talk about what are some starting points for people that want to learn about Bitcoin, blockchain, or I like how you're saying it's much bigger than that. Like, that's kind of what I got out of your answers. But, you know, someone that's new, wants to get started, or just, you know, maybe they know they're good, they're established in their field, but they want to learn about what's this all about. Where would they get started?
Well, I've seen a lot of people coming to our Bitcoin Center for this kind of questions, and even people doing like master's thesis on Bitcoin and asking questions. And I have been shocked to see that most of these people or trying to write a thesis on Bitcoin never actually own Bitcoin or made a transaction. So I would say that the first thing that people have to do is just to find a way to find some Bitcoins, maybe buy them on Coinbase or whatever, in a way in their country where it's easy to buy, and do some transactions and see the power of how easy it is. Because if you start by trying to learn how it works under the hood, I mean, you can get some severe headache, and you will take a lot of time before understanding and grasping the technology. So maybe you will just be put out from that. So I say just take $5 of Bitcoins and send them, take your online wallet on your mobile, and you send, and you just touch the technology.
That's a great answer, because I was actually, I've seen this in person. We were at a Cryptolina, it was in North Carolina, Raleigh. There was a guy, there was a band, and we said, hey man, like we got him set up with a wallet, like we want to tip you, you know, for your music. And as soon as we tipped him, he's like, I get it. So to your point, if we sit around and talk about the car parts and the engine and like the paint, like that actually, we should just be taking this for a test drive. So like to your point, that's what I'm hearing, test drive.
People
more.
People can get bored very quickly unless you speak to engineers.
They're excited, right?
But because they understand the technology and what it means. But for normal people, it's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, we don't sit around and talk about electricity, right? It's like there was this period of time with main like Tesla and Edison battling it out, and they were, it's superheated. But then now we just flip on the lights and we don't even think about it. I mean,
yeah, if you think about the blockchain debate, you have to think like 100 years ago about the debate about electricity has to be current electricity or wave electricity.
Right, so, AC or DC,
AC or DC, or people were like killing each other about that.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, you know, Edison did the whole shot electrocuting an animal, this is not safe. So a lot of fear,
lot of trolling,
as they would say.
Trolling. This was trolling, like killing animals.
Yeah,
this
you're right.
A level of trolling. You know?
So, I never thought of it like that.
Nothing has changed, yes.
Wow. That's good. That's a good way to look at history.
Old school trolling.
Yes.
Old school trolling. That's how we need to like talk about history, is like, this guy was a total troll in 1800, and his whole family was a troll, and they were trolls before him.
Long line of trolls.
Cool, man. Well, did you have any other questions, comments?
No, thanks for your time. And how can people get in touch with Ledger and you if they want to ask some more questions, or the Coin Center?
Well, we have, if you want to visit us in Paris, we are in the center of Paris. So it's La Maison du Bitcoin, House of Bitcoin in English. We are quite easy to find. And if you want to have more information about Ledger, go on ledgerwallet.com or ledger.fr, where we have everything about our products and industry, and just send me an email, eric@ledger.fr, if you want to get in touch with me. It would be my pleasure.
Great. Thanks for your time. We'll have all that information in the show notes. And yeah, it was great to see you and learn more about your background and what you do. So we look forward to seeing you guys grow more.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Congratulations.